How have you been? How's it been, as in there?
So I've been like I've been away from Singapore since like 2000, what, 19, 2 years, almost 2 years already, I
Close
think.
2 years.
Coming to
Wow,
2 years.
okay.
It's like 1 year and like 8 months, 9 months.
Okay, why, I mean, wait, so this is purely you were in New Zealand straight for 1 years and 8 months, or you've been.
Yeah, I've been New Zealand straight. I mean, I did like go to Australia and I went back home for like Chinese New Year. But
And
then
then you.
in Canada, I've been here
Okay, so
now.
okay, tell us a bit more about what you're doing. Is it because right now, okay, I think Leanne mentioned it's a work travel visa, right? What are
Yeah.
you on?
Like I first came here only for like 6 months and it was on a working holiday visa.
Working holiday visa.
Yeah, and that is like for 6 months, and you can extend another 3 months to 9 months.
Okay, but
Yeah,
how did it end?
you gotta do it like. How do you end up?
How do you end up like 1 year and eight?
Oh, because now I'm on a work visa. Yeah, so I was working with a like cafe, and then my working holiday was gonna expire, and then they sort of like sponsor me to stay on with them, so I gotta work for them in exchange like for a proper work visa that is for 1 year more.
Okay.
Yeah,
So
and
that
then
visa is what you're currently having right now.
yeah.
So if you could kind of like that the work holiday visa is for 30 years and below, right? 30 years old and below, right? Yeah, I missed the
Yeah, I was like,
opportunity.
I'm getting too old.
What?
Like,
Sorry, go for it.
I was getting too old, so I was like, oh, I should faster come. Like, I wanted to do this like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And then I procrastinated, I pushed it away. It's like, ah, nah, I should start my real life in Singapore and like find a proper job. Yeah.
Wait, but how old are you right now?
Like 29.
Same age as Sylvia, right? Is it same age as
I'm
Sylvia?
1 year younger than her.
Okay. Oh
Yeah.
man, me and Leigh were like, oh my gosh, we missed the opportunity. We hit like 30 very long ago. We procrastinated, but yeah, happy for you that you did
Yeah, I'm happy too.
it. Okay, so when you were at this, when you had this work holiday visa, right? So what did you do during those 6 months, 9 months, right? 6 months.
Yeah, 9 months, 6 months, 9 months. quite a lot. Like, my first job was to work in a tomato glass house. So I was doing like picking of tomatoes, I was doing like all the crops and like tying the, the branches and all down. Yeah, I did that for like 2 months, and it was like really tough for me because it's so physical. Like every day is just 8 hours, 9 hours of just working physically, and I wanted to quit like the first 1 week. The first few days was so miserable. Yeah, but then
How
like,
long? For what? Sorry, yeah, go for it, go for it. I don't
Yeah,
mean,
but
yeah.
I pushed through, and then I did that because we got to accumulate like 3 months of working in this kind of like horticulture place to extend another about 3 months to extend our visa. So it's to encourage people to go into all these like kiwi fruit or like blueberries or tomato, whatever. Yeah, because they always need a worker. So I had to clock in, like, even though it's like so tiring, I had to do it because in case I want to stay longer. My plan was only 6 months.
Okay, but
Yeah.
you definitely stay longer than that.
Yeah,
Okay.
and then I did some like wolfing. So wolfing is something like you go to a host family and you help them out in exchange for food and accommodation. Yeah,
Woofing.
so yeah, wolfing.
Okay.
Yeah, did some like I stayed at alpaca farm.
Okay.
And I was helping this lady with her alpacas, and like I saw like a baby alpacas and some feeding the newborn. And we did like, what's that? We did like a injection, and we did UV scan for pregnant alpacas. Yeah, I did that, and then also quite a few other wolfing. Like I stayed with a single dad, and that was a bit dodgy. Like,
what do you mean dodgy? Okay, what do you mean dodgy?
It wasn't a good idea. Because he's like a single dad. He has his kids over sometimes. But then, like for Wolfie, you can see all the reviews. So it's like, maybe I shouldn't stay with a single dad as a, you know, solo female traveler.
Yeah.
But then, like, somehow I wanted to be in that area and he was the only one that responded.
Okay.
So I went against my gut feeling and I was like, I'm going to stay. Nothing's going to happen. And then, like, he was a bit inappropriate at times.
Okay.
Yeah. And, like, I think that was the only time I felt unsafe in New Zealand. Or, like, while solo traveling all this while, you know, in different countries. Yeah, because he would send, like, weird texts at night. And then, like, the doors in New Zealand, the bedroom, they don't have lock.
Seriously?
Yeah, they all don't have lock. It's not a common thing to have locks on the door. Like, for bedroom, at least.
Seriously? Yeah. So, so it's kind of like they feel that it's safe to not have locks. I mean, even we have locks.
For them, it's no need to have lock, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, at that moment of time, you felt that, how long do you stay with him? I mean, stay at his home?
About less than a week.
Okay. It's because you feel that you feel unsafe, like, or you decided, or it's just...
That was the plan.
Okay.
Yeah. But like 3 days in, he started to be weird, and then I wanted to move out.
Okay. But,
okay, so the thing is, he was sending me weird texts, and then he was like, oh, would love to see the adventurous side of you. Then I was like, huh, what do you mean? Then he's like, oh, would love to give you a massage, and like, oh my god, something like that.
So how do you handle that, though? Like, how do you kind of, like, you brush it off, or you kind of, like, ignore him or what?
I was, like, really scared, because it's, like, late at night, and, like, yeah. I was in my room, and there's no lock. And then I just replied him, I said something like, no, it's okay, I don't need a massage, or like, I don't think that is, you know, appropriate. And I said something like, and then I tried to like, make a joke about it, you know, like I said something like, oh, the woofing hour is over.
Okay.
Because, you know, I work like 4 hours a day, that kind of thing. And then he's like, oh, the woofing hours is never ending, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so the next day, I was like a bit distant, and then he was like, oh, like nothing happened, and he tried to say like, oh, sorry about last night, I hope I didn't offend you and what. And then I said, nah, just don't do it again, like it's not, I don't feel comfortable. And he's like, oh no, I thought it was a, you know, just for fun, just a banter kind of thing. Yeah, and then the next night he did the same thing again.
Oh gosh, seriously.
Yeah. And the next morning he apologized again. Yeah, so by like the third time, I think I was about to leave anyway, so I was so happy to leave.
Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything in the end. Like, yeah.
Okay. I think he was just testing the ground. I mean,
okay, yeah.
So, yeah, because I feel that like in such like spaces, and plus you feel very vulnerable, right? Because first of all, there's no lock. Right, yeah. And it's just you, yeah, and
in your home,
right? I think there was once when Leah and I were like in Nepal, right? And then we were like in a dining room, like full of like guys. The locals were guys, and then there was some like guys trekkers, and then they made some nonsense joke lah about, you know, like dirty joke. And then me and Leah were like, oh fudge. And then they were like, we were so. And it was so, I mean, it was so obvious that it was directed to us because we were the only two girls there. Mm-hmm. And then we couldn't lock the door when we got into our room. So we had to kind of like put tables and put our walking stick to lock the door and stuff. Because, you know, at tea houses, right? Like, there's no way you could get away from, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What
so
at tea house? Is it a hostel?
It's okay, so when we go trekking, right, so there's like when there are different like tea houses, it's like guest houses, sorry, guest houses, yeah, guest houses. So like there's like a few rooms only, like maybe 5 rooms, 10 rooms, and then a family actually takes care of the houses. But the thing is, because as you go higher, right, there's like very less people, yeah, and usually people just stay for one night and then they leave. Yeah, and that kind of thing. So it's like, Yeah, I mean, I totally feel how you're feeling, but good. I mean, I don't, I, so you didn't like, how do you, did you like put anything on the door? I don't know how you, I don't know how.
I didn't. I mean, I think deep down, I know he wouldn't try anything. Oh, because
Okay.
also when he sent texts, his kids were in the house too.
Okay.
Like, it was his turn to look after his kids for those few days.
Okay.
And they're like literally opposite my room. So I was like, he wouldn't, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he wouldn't send a text, but he did. But I know he wouldn't like physically try to do anything because his kids are around.
Okay.
So in a sense, that's mine.
Okay, since we are at the topic, right? You said that that's the first time you actually feel unsafe throughout your travels, right?
Mm.
And you've been traveling a lot, right?
Not that much.
No, I know, but as like you travel solo a lot. Okay, let me just you travel solo a lot, right?
A few times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the like. Can I just ask you? So you mentioned that this is the only time that you feel unsafe, but okay. Share with us your adventures, lah. I mean, where have you been? What have you done? I mean, have you even done like couch surfing?
Yeah, I did actually. So like my first solo travel was like when I was 24, around 24, and it was to Hawaii. I went there for 3 weeks, and that was when I first did like couch surfing. So I couch surfed the whole 3 weeks with like, I think 5 different hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like I stayed with this guy who is like a clothing optional policy at home kind of thing. That was the most interesting one. But he has like a lot of references and everyone say that, you know, he's a lovely guy. It's like an older guy.
Okay.
And he's like retired, sort of semi-retired. And he only accept like girls. Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, he didn't like whatever. He's like a decent guy, just that sometimes he'll walk around the house like naked. And
Full naked or just top?
Full naked.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Like I was with him for I think 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
And the first 2 days it was like normal. He wasn't like nude or anything.
Okay.
And then the third day, I was just sitting like on a sofa. And like facing the TV, and then he came out of nowhere. He was like totally nude, and he walked past, and then he stopped in the middle like of the TV, and then he talked to me. So I had to see everything. Like I couldn't like, yeah. So that was very
interesting.
Yeah, I mean it was quite uncomfortable. But in his like profile, he said if you're uncomfortable, don't come here or something. Mm. You gotta be okay with it and. Everything. So it's like, I tried to, you know, pretend like it's normal and everything. Yeah, but he's a really nice guy. Like, he brought me to so many places and he has, like, a really nice place. Yeah, and there were 2 other girls couch surfing at the same time, too. Yeah, and then what else? Yeah, so I couch surf in Hawaii and in New Zealand only briefly, like, when I first arrived to, like, settle down and to get all my bank details and everything. I stayed with this other guy. Yeah. In general, I think all the hosts that I stayed with, they're all like males.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all okay. Like, they're all like cool people. Yeah.
Okay. Just in case people don't know what couch surfing is, if you can just share with us what couch surfing is
everyone. Couch surfing is something like. There's a host from like a local host who is willing to accept travelers in their home, so they will provide like maybe a couch, like literally a couch for you to just crash a few days, or if they like you, if you like them, maybe more, you know. But sometimes it's even better, they even like just give you a spare room, like with your own privacy and everything, and in exchange you sort of share about your culture, your country culture, and maybe try to cook them something from home, which is not what I have done. Plus, you know, Singapore food is so hard to replicate and annoying. Yeah, or you take them out for meals, that kind of thing. It's like a goodwill, like you do what you can to show your appreciation in exchange for, you know, them letting you crash, and they also bring you out, that kind of thing. Yeah, like I have really nice experience. Like those people, they would bring me out and hang out with their friends, go for barbecue, go to the beach, or they'll show me around if they have the time. Yeah. And also on couch surfing, there's something like you don't necessarily have to stay with them. Some of them are just like keen to hang out. Okay. So they can't host people at their home, but they're keen to bring you out to show you their country, their amazing things and everything. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah,
that's couch surfing. Okay. Mm. So which means that you don't pay for staying there, like you literally like kind of like exchange like butter in that sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like in the community, it's sort of illegal for them to ask for money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that actually happened to me once.
That someone asked you for money.
Yeah. Because okay. They were like living off the grid and like on a farm, and then they were saying it's just to cover the, you know, water and whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. That's fun. Okay. So going back a bit about you. Okay. Why these things? As in, why are you so curious about all these things? Like, you know, couch surfing. I mean, to a certain extent, it is a bit adventurous where you go solo traveling, right? And then you kind of like, okay, so most people view this as it's dangerous for you to kind of like, you know, go to a stranger's place, you know, stay with them, right? The very typical usual thing, right? So the question here is, you don't have trust issue. Oh, you know, as in, I mean, it's, yeah, because sometimes when you travel on your own, right, I'm sure you get questions like, huh, you travel by yourself as a girl, isn't it dangerous, you know, and stuff like that, and plus you actually stay with strangers like couchsurfing and all that, right? So what are your thoughts on that, as in, why do you do that, you know, what fascinates you to kind of like do that?
I think it first started off as like a way to save money. Because like when I first did it in Hawaii, like accommodation is super expensive. Mm-hmm. And then somehow, I don't know how, I stumbled upon this couch surfing thing. And I was like, oh, why not give it a try? You know, and like, I just trusted my gut. And like, I know that if it's not right, I can leave. You know, like you just got to trust your gut and sense the situation when you get there and everything. But yeah, my very first couch surfing host, like we were chatting for like a few, like even before I arrived, you know, just to see if we are all okay and everything. Yeah, so I was comfortable and he picked me up at the airport and he gave me like a lei, you know, the flower thing. I was like, oh, the aloha, welcome. Yeah, and I think it's a lot about trusting like what your gut tells you. And yeah, so I don't really feel like I'm safe or anything in general. Yeah, and solo traveler is just much more flexible. You know, you don't have to follow someone, you don't have to make sure they're happy. It's like, since I started traveling solo, it's a bit, sometimes I don't have the patience to travel with someone, but which is quite bad, but yeah, it's a lot of freedom, and I like that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of can reside with you on that, because I mean, when I travel, I only go with one person, which is Leanne. And you're right, because if you go with like bigger groups, I mean, it's not okay. I feel that this is preference, okay, guys. This is preference. It's not that Jamie and me are very antisocial. It's just that you're right. Is that, you know, we realize that when we travel on our own, just the two of us, right? I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you, that people are more like open to kind of like have conversations with us, like the locals and all that. And plus, the thing is that bigger groups for us means that we have to kind of like accommodate for everyone. With, you know what I mean, like what you mentioned. So, yeah, we kind of like to travel in just the two of us, and you kind of like your solo travels, right?
Mm. I mean, it's nice to have company, of course. But when I solo travel, like, I will still meet people, and sometimes we might travel together for a while.
Hmm.
Then meet someone else and travel together for a while. I'll just be alone, that's fine too, you know.
Yeah.
It depends on my mood. If I'm up for
a chat. If you're up for a chat, you'll have company.
Yeah.
If not,
like, Or like if I go for hikes, like longer hikes, and I don't want to do it alone because of like safety and everything, or like I just need some support, I would just post on like groups and ask if anybody want to join me on the hike. So that's cool too. Yeah,
I guess a lot, I mean, I feel that there's a lot of like, well, it's not really misconceptions of like when you travel solo, right? Like, there will be a lot of dangers around you because, like, first of all, like you mentioned, like when you reach out to people to kind of like go trekking with you, how will you know that person is not like, like, you know, like a, you know, so yeah, so I guess there's that. But the thing is that we learn is that, you know, why do we let our fear kind of like stop us to do what we want to do, right, Jamie? And just like kind of like go for it. Okay, I'm gonna go ask you a few questions. Hang on. Yes. Okay, so what does your... Okay, so right now you're working at a cafe, right? Oh, no.
So the, since COVID, the cafe has been closed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, that's right.
So, like, since it's closed, but I'm still on that visa, it's sort of like a no-pay leave for me now.
Okay.
Because they plan to open in summer, which is around December or January.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so for the for the past few months, I've been like sort of slow traveling and like doing more woofing. Yeah.
Okay.
For the past 3 to 4 months.
Woofing is WOO.
WWOL. No, WWOOFING.
Okay. Okay, we'll check that out.
Yeah, there's another word for it. It's also help exchange.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a few different words for it. But in New Zealand, there's like 3 different ones. So there's woofing, there is help X, like help and an X.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is work away. Like work away from home, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's 3 main names. But woofing is a more general term for,
for this. And it's cooler, so it sounds cooler, woofing. Okay. Anyways, okay, since you mentioned COVID, how is it there? As in, are you safe and all that? How has it been since COVID happened?
It's so safe, actually. I think this is the safest place. Like, I haven't worn a mask since the whole COVID thing. Like, we don't really... Like, life here is normal now.
Oh, okay.
It's almost normal. Like, we don't need to wear masks. There's no, like, limit or whatever. It's like normal.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. So there's not much fear. I mean, at the start we had lockdown as well for like 1.5 months where you stay at home, but after that it was like slowly eased out, and then we had a second wave and then we go into lockdown again. But like not really. Because our lockdown is quite relaxed, sort of. It's more of like just distancing, like you don't have to wear masks. I mean, they don't really strongly encourage people to wear masks, or they don't talk about masks. I don't know why, but I guess it's not a Western culture or something. But yeah, but the population is generally quite sparse as well in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the second wave hit, it was like to the major city. So that city was under a more strict lockdown. But the rest of the country where I was, it was like normal. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you're in the countryside, right? It's not really, the population is not so big and close also in that sense, right?
Yeah.
Close by as much as, okay. Okay, oh yeah, I wanted to ask you, what does a typical day look like for you?
Because now I'm not working, so it's not very exciting, not like anything. Now it's pretty chill, like, I just wake up and I try, because now I'm staying with my friend's mom.
Okay.
So my friend that I met when I was working in a cafe, yeah, so her mom, like, this is their hometown. I'm, like, really far from home now, like, home being where I was working. Okay. So I've been staying with her for, like, the past month or so. Like, she kindly, like, adopted me and my friend because we were, like, not sure of our plans after our road trip. So we finished our road trip and then the mom was like, oh, just if you need a place to figure out what you want to do next, like, feel free to come and stay with us. Yeah. So I try to help out with, like, the house and her business. So she's doing, like, a new business, like a compost selling compost for gardening.
Okay.
So I help her bag up, like, a lot of bags, and sometimes I help her with deliveries. or I help her with social media to promote her item, something like that. Yeah, okay. When I'm not doing that, I go to the beach sometimes.
Okay. Are you close by to a beach?
30 minutes away.
Okay, that's quite close.
Yeah, not that close, but close enough.
Okay.
Yeah, go to the beach, or sometimes I try to go for a hike. Yeah, so we are going for a hike this Friday, like an overnight one, but like a small one, like 3 hours, and then you stay at the hut.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm so envious right now. It's like you like surrounded.
Right? Sorry,
what? No, I'm not. No, that is like, my throwback. It's like, this is why I'm so, I feel so stuck. But anyways, it's okay. I mean, we have to kind of like be grateful that we are safe and healthy and stuff, and you know. But yeah, I'm so envious of you right now, because you're like surrounded with things that you can do that is not confined in four walls to a certain extent.
I feel very lucky, very, very lucky to be here.
Okay, yeah, you were saying about your okay, so you're going hiking and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you were gonna kind of like finish mention about your typical day, Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
For now, but I think, yeah.
But when I'm traveling, you know, it's just like mostly driving and exploring new places, which was what I was doing like a few months, the past 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like I asked my friend to join me midway actually, in the middle of my 3 months holiday. Yeah. So we were working together and sharing the drive. Yeah, and you know, just exploring. Moving.
Have you kind of like explored most of New Zealand or not yet? You're talking about the outskirts, right? No, you're not talking about the city, you're talking about the outskirts, right? So where have you been on your drives, on your road trip?
There's like two islands for New Zealand. So there's the south and the north. Mm-hmm. So I was staying like in the South Island.
Okay.
I was staying and working there. So I started my trip. I just slowly drive up the coast, like the west coast. And then I had to take a ferry with my car to the North Island. Yeah, and then we just explore the different towns. But I wouldn't say I explored most of New Zealand. I would say most of the South Island.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was living there anyway. So I would do trips sometimes. Like just to some corner, that corner, that corner. But yeah, most of the South Island. But the North Island, not that much. I mean, I went to all the places that I wanted to go, like all those on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But like the smaller area, there's still a lot more to explore, for sure. It's such a big place. And so many. Yeah.
Oh, your adventure literally never ends.
Yeah. But now it's on a pause, because now it's, just taking a break and figuring out, not because of COVID. Because of my job situation. Yeah, I need to figure out what to do next, since I don't know if I want to go all the way down to the south again, to my cafe. So I got to figure out what to do. Maybe look for a job here, or I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. So you're still figuring out. So what? So you're, wait, hang on, you are 29, right? Are you ever coming back? Do you, is what is back?
I really like the lifestyle here, and it's very hard to go back once you have experienced this. And I think it's something that a lot of people who haven't experienced this, they wouldn't understand. Like, to them, I guess I'm escaping adulthood, just prolonging the real life and just not going back. But
pause. What is real life, right? Who is to define what real life is, right?
You know.
Okay, you were saying?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard for me to go back after I've experienced this. And I really like this country and this lifestyle, you know. I can't imagine going back to Singapore and, I don't know. If I can, I would want to stay here for like a few more years, if I can, or like forever, but I shouldn't say that. But yeah, my friends and family, they want me back. It's like, they don't really agree with this. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to ask you, what do your what does your family and friends think about what you're doing?
So initially, when I wanted to come on this, my friends were like, you know, they were supportive because they knew that I wanted to do this like 4 or 5 years ago anyway.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, yeah, just go and have fun. You know, you always wanted to do this and it's just 6 months anyway, you know, and once you come back, you can figure out everything. And yeah, but my mom, she was more like apprehensive because, you know, she's like, oh, you're almost 30 and you still want to go and have fun and run away from Singapore, that kind of thing. But she know that I'm stubborn and I wouldn't not go because she's don't allow me to go anyway. So yeah, she tried to be supportive as like, yeah, go and have fun. But as the time passed, you know, like 6 months, and I suddenly decide to extend 9 months. And then from 9 months, I suddenly extend another, I don't know how long more. And by then, like, sort of put a strain on my relationship back home. Like my closest friends and my family. Yeah, so I don't know. It's one of the harder things to deal with when I'm here. Because I think you were asking something about the hurdles. Like, what's my biggest hurdle?
Yeah.
I think it's about that. Like mentally, I got to sort of... how should I put it? I got to... try to push away the negative thoughts and like the negative feeling that I have of letting people down, letting people at home down because they don't agree with what I'm doing.
Yeah. But Jamie, as in, okay, take a minute. It's okay, take a minute. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's okay. I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, when it comes to that, but I want to ask you, okay, are you happy? Are you happy?
Yeah, I am.
I know.
My strained relationship back home. Yeah.
I mean, oh no, sorry, I touched a nerve. Okay. I mean, I want to kind of like share with you that, I mean, I kind of like know how you feel, because to a certain extent, like whatever I'm doing right now, right, it's not like a, you know, the things that I do, I don't have a 9-to-5 job, you know, I know how you feel when you say that letting people down. But I realized that, right, that whether, like, who do you live for? As in, at the end of the day, is you live for yourself, right? And, like, people around us wouldn't understand. I'm not saying that it's hard. It's definitely hard. But people around us won't understand how we are feeling or what actually ignites, you know, our hearts, our soul. And if we were to kind of, like, live for them, just because that is their idea of what life is supposed to be, then, you know, okay, you're strong, you're stubborn. So, I mean, and if you ever need a friend, you know, like, you know, we've got me, you've got Lian, okay? So, But have you spoken to them? Have you spoken to them? Is it like,
I mean, when I went back for Chinese New Year, but like, I met up with like, my closest group of friends, but it was already strained and it was a bit weird and a bit awkward, and then we had a serious talk, and then they just wanted me to have more, do things with more intent, like do things in life with more intent, because I'm always like, you know, I don't really know what I want, and maybe I want this, maybe I want that, I never know. So they say like, you just gotta do something with intention and they will support me. But yeah, but ever since we haven't really spoken, I mean, I still talk to like one of them occasionally, but like I don't know like how, what is going on, and it's hard for me to try to connect anyway. I'm so far away and their life is going ahead, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
They're progressing in everything, and like I cannot relate to them and they cannot relate to me. So I guess it's hard to connect, and I guess there's no point at this stage, you know, to try to force a connection.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, it's okay. I mean, if they're real friends, they will understand. And plus, I mean, in life, I feel that you lose some friends along the way because we just don't have the topic of conversations that you know what I mean. We grow up, we change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. So, yeah. Chiyo, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So we're talking about this, right? I want to kind of ask you. So, what was your? I know I'm not sure whether you mentioned earlier on, but what was the deciding factor for you to kind of like just pack up and move? Not. Yeah, like now it's literally move, like you've been there one year, I guess, 8 months. Yeah.
You mean like the New Zealand or like others? Or like
what is the longest time you've, so it's New Zealand, right?
Yeah,
I guess New Zealand is the longest one that you've been away from Singapore. Okay, like, then let's just take New Zealand. Yeah. What made you kind of like fly for that work holiday? Okay.
Yeah, that was a big pushing
factor. Okay.
Yeah, and okay. I was like, yeah, because I wanted to do it. Like I say, I wanted to do it before when I was still younger, and then I didn't, and then I was approaching the limit to come.
Yes.
And it, like, it's always my dream to try to live overseas. You know, have a life overseas. Like, I wanted to study abroad, like do an exchange, but I never got to do that. So this was my opportunity to do it. Like, I have no money to study overseas anyway, and this doesn't cost much. You know, I just got to apply for the visa and come with a little bit of savings. And then, yeah, so I really wanted to see how is it to live somewhere other than Singapore. So, yeah.
And you so happen to love it, lah. So this is what you're going to kind of like.
I mean, before I came here, I came on a holiday with like two of my friends as well, and it was like a really laid back country and like really beautiful. I was like, why not, you know, like we only have two options actually for the working holiday, so it's either Australia or New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah, but I chose New Zealand because I like it more.
You like it more. Okay. Okay. So, I'm going to touch a bit about the holiday work holiday visa, right? So was it very easy to apply? And how long did it take? And if someone was to kind of like, interested to do it,
For like New Zealand, like Singapore to New Zealand, I think per year there's only 200. I'm not sure if it changed. Like 200 slots for Singaporeans to apply. And it opens like, I think, November, somewhere around,
soon.
Somewhere around November.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got, like, for me, I woke up early to try to apply for it as soon as it opened. Yeah. And I could get it. I think it's not that popular, like, to do this working holiday.
Seriously?
I mean, there's only 200 slots, but from what I heard from, like, other Singaporeans, they didn't have to camp there or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, but it might be, it's good to apply as soon as it open, you know, especially with COVID and like in the future, everyone might want to do this. Yeah. And like the application fee is like maybe a few hundred dollars. I think that's about it. Yeah. So that's about it. It's not that expensive, or it's not that hard. And for Australia. I think there's about 1,000 or something slots.
Okay.
Yeah, and that one is pretty easy to get. When I last looked at it, you don't have to camp there. They open like quarterly. Like they give more slots quarterly. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not that hard.
Okay. Mm. Do you think, I mean, in your opinion, should one try to experience like life differently and go for this? I mean, you know, but because you are such an adventurer in that sense, right? You probably say, yes, you should.
I mean, why not? Like, why not? I mean, if you just live in Singapore, all you know is life in Singapore. I mean, going on holidays is different. You know, it's not the same as living overseas and like really learning what is happening, like how the locals live and what's their culture. Like, a short holiday is different from living overseas for sure. Like, when I came here, what was the question? I forgot.
Whether, you know, whether, yeah, if, like, you know, if, would you kind of, like, encourage or kind of, like, share with the person that, yeah, just, like, have a go at, yeah, at this thing?
Yeah, I think, like for sure, like, even, like, just not the locals, because, like, there's a lot of, like, backpackers.
Mm.
Like, they call, like, people like me, like, backpackers, like, in New Zealand. So that there's so many different backpackers here from so many different cultures, and they're all like staying here, they're all working here, having a working holiday, or some of them, you know, from working holiday, we got to stay here for like 5 years, or like there's so many people like that, and you hear all their stories and you hear all the different ways of living, you know, some of them live on a yacht like permanently, some of them, you know, they hop around the country to find their home. Yeah, across different parts of the country to find where is most suitable for them, and they don't want to go back, they don't plan to go back, they're happy here. Yeah, so it's like this, it opens your eye.
Yeah,
like so many different, yeah, people and ways of living, and yeah, as compared to just being in Singapore, yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, because to a certain extent, that when you kind of like meet people and their experiences, you kind of like learn and, you know, are aware of what's happening instead of just having, you know, just being like in, like for example, like what, I mean, I'm not saying that Singaporeans don't know shit, but I'm just saying that there are other things out there in the world, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like traveling or going on our adventures kind of like open a new world for us. You know, there's so many other, okay.
And you can realize
you don't need
a lot of things to be happy. Like, you don't need a stable job. You don't need to be stuck in Singapore being unhappy and just for the sake of it, because you want, like, you know, buy a house, or you want to live a normal life, you want something stable.
But I feel that for people like you and I, when people say normal life, right, I get super turned off. Like, what makes your life a normal life and what makes my life not a normal life, right? Like, you know, everyone has their own way of living their life. And you're right. If you, when you kind of like open your eyes and kind of like see what's there in the world, that like you realize that it's the little things and you really don't need much, you know? So yeah, it's like fudge it lah. I mean, let you be you, right? Just you know, just yeah. Okay. I'm moving to the next few questions. Okay, are you okay? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Hang on. Okay. So you meant okay. What was your biggest hurdle? You mentioned already, right? Just now. Okay. So are there any like stuck memories, positive or negative? Since you moved to NZ,
I think it's the same thing as my hurdle. Like, it came to a point where I realized that I'm losing my friends back home. I think that was the biggest negative sort of experience. But in general, everything's really good. Like, there's no, like, major, like, wow. I mean, there's a lot of wows. Like, I cannot keep track of the wow. But it's easier to remember the negative ones, which is that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, one positive one, something that is really at the top of your head, something that is, you know, really made an impact for you, to you.
Stuck memories. I think maybe, like, I realized I can be really happy in a camper van. Like, it's one of, like, my happiest moments, like, when I'm in a camper van and just going to places and just sleeping in the camper van and waking up, you know, seeing the ocean or seeing the stars, that kind of thing. Yeah, like, I really enjoy that. But I don't have a camper van anymore, so that's...
Yeah, I was about to ask you, yeah, what happened to the camper van?
Yeah, so I had one, I got someone to spray it for me, you know, with, like, graffiti and all. And then I had that camper van for 8 months. And then on a small road trip, it died because I forgot to put some coolant inside.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I don't have a car back home. So, like, having a car is very new and, like, you don't know a lot of things. Oh, it's also, I learned quite a lot of things about cars, changing the tire, checking this, checking that, checking the tire pressure. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah. But to be fair, my friend was driving it when it broke down. I wasn't looking at the dashboard to see what's wrong. He's like, oh no, it's fine. And then there was smoke. I was like, no, that's fine. You just gotta go faster, the smoke will go away. And then it died. Yeah. But it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Then you guys had to abandon the camper van there?
Yeah, like at the side of a road. And then we met this really nice guy. Because we were stuck outside his cafe. So
okay.
He came out and talked to us. He's like, oh, do you need help? And then, like, we couldn't get it started. It was, like, just dead. So yeah. We had to abandon it. Like, that was my last time seeing it. You know, okay. I didn't know that was the last time. So I just abandoned it. And this guy helped us, like, hitch a ride back to where we came from in a bus. Like, a tour bus.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I had to sell it off. Because it's either I get someone to tow it away, and I have to pay because, like, my car wasn't fit anymore. It was, like, past right after lockdown. Is it lockdown? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So I had to pay someone to buy it off me for, like, $100. And that was it. Actually sad. Yeah. But it was super fun.
Yeah, but so there's, I guess I'm assuming that would be your next, I mean, something that you will kind of, like, want to do again.
I did again, actually, after that.
Oh.
I borrowed a camper van for my friend.
Okay.
After lockdown, like, after COVID lockdown. And I used it for, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah, so that was really good, too. But now I feel like I've traveled quite a lot, like, explored quite a lot. I don't really need a camper van anymore.
Okay.
And it's very expensive and it's complicated. You got to check so many things, which I don't know how. Safer for me to just stick to my regular car now. Yeah.
Okay. So that is the one that's on top of your list, lah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Advice for women who are thinking of doing the same same in the aspect, and then one more is traveling solo.
Same in this aspect. I think it's best to, if you don't overthink it, you know, just gotta do it step by step. Like, just gotta take the first step to just apply for the visa when this whole COVID thing is over. You know, and then slowly figure out what to do. There's so many blogs and, like, vlogs and articles about it anyway, like, what to do. And you can always also do couch surfing, and, like, my couch surfing host, he helped me with so many things, like, to get a bank account, get this and that. Yeah, so they're really helpful. Yeah, so I think it's all about taking the first step, I guess. Yeah, to make it less scary, because once you are in, you you have to go for it. I mean, you can lose your money, but at least it's a bit of encouragement to go for it. If you already apply for it, then get it. Yeah.
Okay.
And you said to solo travel. Maybe when it gets to a point where you are sick of people, not sick of people, I mean sick of waiting for people to join you, to like accommodate, to match up your schedules, your work and blah, blah, blah. You might have the motivation to go on your first solo trip. You know, that was what happened for me. Okay. Like my dream was to go to Hawaii. It's like after I finished uni, I couldn't find someone to go with me. And it's like, I really want to go. And it's like, I'm so tired of like trying to find this person, that person, this person. It's like, I'll forget it. Yeah. So yeah. Or maybe start with somewhere nearer. Nearer. Cause Hawaii was quite far, but it was good. Yeah. Somewhere nearer, somewhere shorter, if it helps. For me, I went on my first solo trip. Yeah. To Hawaii for 3 weeks. But I did some other solo trips as well to Bali. Or maybe go to somewhere where you're familiar, you have been there with your friends. Because I've been to Bali. And yeah, I feel like Bali, yeah, it's pretty safe. So just that sometimes all the taxi drivers and all is a bit scary, but
yeah. What do you mean scary? As in try to kidnap you?
No, they always try to get you to go to their car and like take their taxi, yeah. And they're so relentless. And it gets a bit intimidating sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah. It's not as dangerous as you think. You just got to trust what your gut tells you.
Yeah. So, that's one of the advice, right? So, if you're kind of like in if you're a solo traveler, so this is the next step, right? So they've already said, okay, I'm going for my solo travel, right? So so when you're there and then stuff like that, and then the next step is to, when you feel that you're in danger not in danger. So what are the things that you kind of like go through? Like, is there a checklist that you do, like, to kind of like, if you're in a very weird situation, scenario, what would you do? So one could be follow your gut feeling, right? What are the steps that you, what is the checklist, if you have, that you kind of go through? Or you just follow your gut feeling?
I don't really have, but I think in general, just gotta be like street smart also. Like, don't be stupid and go into a dark alley alone, or like, don't go out late at night alone, or like, try to find, you know, other people. If you are, yeah, because like when I went to Bali, like I met other surfers and sometimes we go out together. So in a sense, you know, I feel more safe. Yeah, like I have a safety net. Like when I first went to Hawaii, actually I have a friend. Oh, you know her, Kim.
Okay.
She used to play like rugby and she relocated there. So she was like my safety net in case anything bad happens to me. Yeah, and then, you know, I feel a bit safer. But throughout my 3 weeks, I was only with her for maybe a couple of days. But still, you know, I know that she is there. So maybe a safety net. Or like, you know, always telling people where you are, people back home or whoever. Yeah. And, be street smart, I suppose. Just don't put yourself in dodgy situations if you can. Everything will be fine. So far.
Last two, okay, and then we are almost there. Okay, so after this, what is on your next adventure or next on your list?
I think now that it's COVID, it's hard to have adventure. But my next adventure, I guess, would be to find a place to call home for a little while. Or for, you know, for good. Who knows? But yeah, that's my next step. To find somewhere that I can feel at home. Because now I'm like in a limbo stage. Yeah. So I plan to like find a job here. Hopefully to find someone, who can sponsor me, because it's complicated with this whole visa thing. My current visa, I can't work for anyone else. Yeah, so in order for someone else to hire me, they got to go through quite a troublesome procedure to ever to get me that work visa. Like, they got to advertise for it. They got to prove that they can't find any, like, Kiwi, New Zealander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to do the job, that kind of thing. Like, it's quite a long step. So not many employers will be willing to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is the next adventure, to look for a new job.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of.
Okay. So good luck on that. I mean, I wish you, I hope you'll kind of like, yeah, get what you're looking for or what, and that you're happy there, I guess.
Yeah. I am.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, last one is your, I don't know whether it's the same as the one that you just shared, like, but what are your dreams? Or what are the things that you kind of like, you know, what are you looking forward to? Your dreams, lah. You know, to, yeah. Mm. It's too far to think about.
Yeah, it might be too far. Dreams. It's a bit hard.
Okay, it's okay. Because I know right now you're thinking of what to do next, right? Which is trying to find a stable foot and then get the, you know, your the work visa kind of like settled and all. Mm-hmm. How long for this this visa? How long is left?
Until next June. Quite long, actually. Mm, yeah, okay. Supposedly until December, but because of COVID, the government extended the visa for another 6 months.
Okay. So worst case scenario, if you don't get a visa, then how?
I can go back to my old job when it opens in a few months.
Okay.
Yeah. Or go back home, but I don't think I want to do that. Yeah, but I'm sure I'll find a way, you know. Yeah. The easier thing might be to go home, but I don't want. Yeah, like so many people have gone home since COVID, you know. So many friends and so many other travellers. Like New Zealand is quite empty now. Yeah, like when this kind of thing happens, it's easier to just go home and be in the comfort of, you know, family and everything. But not applicable to me. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Something will work out. You know, I'll find something.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, everything. Yeah, everything will work out. Oh yeah. Okay. I've got one question to ask you. Okay. So, last one. Because it's something that actually came to my mind that. I know we said a lot, I mean, I at least like say that what is normal life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what is it to you? What is a normal life to you?
I think now, normal life, it's what society tells us, you know, the regular life. But my wish is for a normal life to be something like how you want your life to be. You don't have to justify your actions and your dreams to people who do not agree with your type of normal life. Yeah, I hope in the future everyone will be more like accepting to the different types of normal life instead of what is the regular normal life, which is what we all know. Yeah. So hopefully in the future.